we're coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if anyone try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you need on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on our hot topic. And ladies and gentlemen, we have a hot topic today. Matter of fact, it's in one of these unfortunate hot topics that we are having to talk about again. And it seems like we're having to talk about it way too much, ladies and gentlemen. But today our subject is dealing with, can we stop the mass killing in America? Can we stop the mass killing in America? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, we have had a couple of more mass killings here in America. The other Saturday evening, about a week ago, we had a mass killing there at the Walmart there in El Paso, Texas. A man killed 22 people, according to the last report that I've heard. It was 22 that was killed. And then I believe in that Dayton, Ohio, I believe it was about 7 people that was killed up there, the last report that I've heard on that one. Somebody went into a nightclub up there and killed some people. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we are still having to talk about these mass killings in America. And these victims' families are certainly in our thoughts and our prayers. We certainly want to continue to keep praying for those that have lost loved ones there in El Paso, and those that has lost loved ones in Dayton, Ohio. And we really need to be in prayer about Dayton, Ohio, because back here, I believe it was in May or June, they had about 18 tornadoes. It was so many tornadoes, I can't remember the exact amount, but they had a lot of tornadoes. I think it was 8 or 18. But we certainly need to be in prayer form, because even one tornado is way too much. And they had a lot of tornadoes that hit them, and so they was trying to recover from that. But let me let you hear this report here about this accuser, this man who shot up these people in El Paso. He didn't even have no remorse, according to the police.
About the suspect in the El Paso massacre and his 650-mile journey from a Dallas suburb to a Walmart near the border, where he allegedly sought out Hispanics to shoot. Janet Shamlian reports from El Paso, where it's been another tough day.
Survivors picked up their cars at the Walmart today, the pain still raw.
You hear boom, 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 and you can tell it's coming in because it's echoing louder.
New details are emerging about the massacre. Police say the alleged gunman, Patrick Crucius, drove 10 hours from near Dallas to El Paso, where he got lost, was hungry, and went into the Walmart first to eat, before going back to his car, taking out an AK-47-style assault rifle, and firing. Witnesses say the shooter passed by white and black shoppers, deliberately shooting Hispanics in a city 80% Hispanic. He also posted an online manifesto embracing white supremacist views. Police Chief Greg Allen says he's shown no remorse.
He basically appears to be in a state of shock and confusion.
A Crucius family statement says, in part, he was apparently influenced and informed by people we do not know and from ideas and beliefs that we do not accept or condone. El Pasoans are putting on the bravest possible face.
We're not scared, right? El Paso's a community united, and we'll stay that way.
And Janet Shamlian joins us tonight from outside that growing memorial. And Janet, the president is traveling to El Paso tomorrow. What else is planned there?
It's a controversial visit here, Nora, and tonight we are learning several protests are planned here for tomorrow, including one near the hospital where several of the victims are recovering. It is along a route the president is expected to travel. Nora, Janet.
All right, and so the president, he did travel there to El Paso, and he expressed his condolences, and he met with the various families. Let's get this report here from Dayton, Ohio.
Late today, what the FBI revealed there, saying the shooter might have been motivated by violent ideologies. Of course, those images, people running in panic from the gunman's bullets, the gunman followed. The chaos and terror inside that bar. And tonight, right here, the new clues revealed about the gunman. As we hear from a former girlfriend who said herself, there were red flags. What he was fascinated with. ABC's Eva Pilgrim leads us off from Dayton tonight.
Tonight, stories of heroism from inside the Dayton bar where the gunman's rampage ended. Dylan Arnold started recording when he heard the gunfire. He says the bouncer saved his life. You can see him here alerting staff as the shooter rushes towards the bar.
If he wasn't there, and especially if the officers weren't there, I mean, I know I'd be gone. One of the first gone.
As authorities search for a motive, the FBI now investigating evidence they say shows Connor Betts was exploring violent ideologies.
The individual had a history of obsession with violent ideations to include mass shootings and had expressed a desire to commit a mass shooting.
Just this past May, Adelia Johnson, who says she was dating Betts, broke it off after what she calls several red flags.
He talked about like mass shootings and world tragedies like I talk about television shows.
ABC News has also learned of a now deleted Twitter account believed to be linked to Betts, describing himself as an anime fan, a metalhead, and a leftist. In less than 30 seconds, dozens were hurt, 9 people killed. 25-year-old Nick Hummer had spent the summer working with cancer patients. He'd just been offered his dream job.
He's going to leave a big hole in our organization, for sure. I think he's left a hole in our hearts.
Ohio's governor, who was drowned out by a crowd in the wake of the shooting, now says he's calling for legislation requiring background checks for nearly all gun sales and other reforms.
We must do something. And that is exactly what we are going to do.
And Eva Pilgrim joins us live tonight from Dayton, Ohio. And Eva, the FBI revealing today that they have evidence now that the gunman was interested in violent ideologies, and they're asking now for the public's help.
That's right, David. The FBI is investigating if this shooter had any help. They're also wanting to talk to anyone who might have known that he was interested in mass shootings. Now, if you have video of this shooting, the FBI would like for you to submit that on their website. David?
It does seem like there were so many red flags here. Eva Pilgrim leading us off.
All right. And so that was a report there from Dayton, Ohio. And you heard in that report, the governor of Ohio, he was saying that we need to have some gun control laws. So his solution is gun control. And that's what you're going to hear in most of these politicians, is gun control. Matter of fact, let's get the... Here's a report from the 2020 candidates. They're going to speak out on gun control.
That,
this is Beto O'Rourke.
Injury, a lot of suffering in El Paso right now. I'm incredibly saddened, and it is very hard to think about this.
He's from El Paso.
But I'll tell you, El Paso is the strongest place in the world. This community is going to come together. I'm going back there right now to be with my family and to be with my hometown.
It looks again to be another assault weapon. It looks again to be a crime of hate of some kind. And it looks again like there are multiple people killed, and we just learned a four-month-old is struggling for their life. That's what happened today in the United States of America.
The American people are overwhelmingly united, and that is gun owners and non-gun owners, in wanting to see the passage of common sense.
Now that's Bernie Sanders.
We have a president who refuses to protect his country from the onslaught of this gun violence.
Colorado has been touched by this over and over and over again, and we know what this feels like, the sense of shock, the sense of loss that people have. And we will be with the people of El Paso, just as they've been with us, unfortunately, time and time again.
We need the United States Congress to act. We have to act. There has to be an agreement that we have as Americans, that it is unacceptable that we have these incidents where people are being slaughtered in our streets.
America is under attack by lethal, violent, white nationalist terrorism. And if we're serious about confronting it, that means we have to have a different conversation than this hand-wringing and thoughts and prayers and, you know, that's too bad. This is a national security emergency.
Well, I can say without fear of contradiction, enough is enough is enough. It's been enough for the past 5 years.
All right, so you heard the most of those Democrat candidates for president. They was saying something need to be done, and for the most part their solution is still gun control, to get these guns out of the hands of these people, to get the guns out of the hands of the people. But is that really the solution? Because I believe that the way to stop a bad guy with the gun is a good guy with the gun. If they didn't have somebody there at Walmart, the police, the security guard, I believe it was the police that shot this guy at Walmart, he could have shot a whole lot more folks. Same thing at this nightclub in Ohio. If they didn't have somebody with a gun, that man could have just about killed everybody in there. So the way to stop a bad guy with a gun is to make sure that good folks have some guns. And that's what the Second Amendment is all about. The Second Amendment is all about the right to bear a gun. Not just a privilege. Here in America, we have a right to have guns. Black folks would have ended up back in slavery when the Ku Klux Klan came on the scene in the 1880s. They was getting ready to shoot up some black folks, put black folks back in slavery. But some good white folks started arming black people and started giving black people guns. And as a result, when the Ku Klux Klan came to their house, they had to turn around and go away because black people had some guns. And so the way to stop bad guys with a gun is good guys with a gun. Now, see, the problem is not so much we have a gun problem, but we got a heart problem. That's the problem. We have a culture of hate in America. See, both of these boys, both of these young men, they was in their early 20s. The man in El Paso, I think he was about 21. Same thing, the man in Ohio, he was around 21. Both of these guys, they was raised in a culture of hate. Now, you just think about it. Just think about what's been going on the last 20 years, the last 21 years here in America. The last 21 years here in America, 19 of those years, 18 of those years, we have been in the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. And there has been a lot of hate in our culture. Terrorism. They have grown up in 9/11. Remember 9/11, how the Muslims, how they bombed the two towers there, the Twin Towers there in New York City. So they was raised when terrorism was at its heights. As a result, ladies and gentlemen, all they know on the evening news, when you turn on the evening news, all they hear is hate. Could it be that we have an irresponsible news press? Let me ask that question again. Could it be that we have an irresponsible news press? Because see, when they was raised, they was raised with cable news TV. When I was raised as a little boy, it wasn't no cable news TV. It was just ABC, CBS, and NBC. And for the most part, you turn to Dan Rather or Walter Cronkite. And those guys, they tried to give you a balanced approach. They wasn't for the Democrats and they wasn't so much for the Republicans. They just tried to report to you the news. But today, ladies and gentlemen, our news, particularly cable news, is a propaganda machine. Yeah, they are working for particular views to get their views across, and they are trying to rally you on their side. For instance, MSNBC is really a Democrat machine. That's what that is. And every night they come on there teaching you to hate the Republicans. Every night, if you listen to MSNBC, every night they teaching you to hate the Republican. Then when you turn over to CNN, they teaching you to hate Trump. They teach you to hate Trump, or either hate Christians or hate anybody that is not for abortion. If they're not for abortion, then they gonna hate on you. If they're not for homosexuality, then they gonna hate on you. Because CNN, a lot of their news anchors are gays, and so they all for the gay. And if you're not for the gay, then they hate on you. And then if you flick from there and turn over to Fox, then over there on the Fox, that's another hate machine. They teach you to hate the Democrats. And so if you listen to Fox every night, you're going to end up hating Democrats. And so if you listen to Fox, you're going to hate Democrats. If you listen to CNN, you're going to hate Trump and anybody that don't line up with the homosexual agenda. They gonna hate on you. And then MSNBC, they gonna hate on the Republic. So those cable news stations, they seem to teach you to hate every night. And so if you watching them guys every night, they are pumping into your heart hate. And it won't be long before you join a hate group. Yeah, just like these men's that shot these people in El Paso and Ohio. Most of the time when you see these people going out doing mass shooting, then they are part of some hate group. They are part of some skinheads, the Ku Klux Klan, white supremacy group. They're part of ISIS or some Muslim group, but they have joined some group. And even with black people, they done joined Black Lives Matters, which is another hate group, because they teach you to hate police and what have you. So all these groups, I mean all these stations, MSNBC, CNN, and Fox, are they being irresponsible when it comes to reporting the news? Are they being irresponsible by teaching us that to hate? Because you can cut them on at 5 o'clock in the evening, and one come on at 5, and then when he go off at 6 o'clock, somebody else come on. Then when he go off, somebody else come on. And they come on one after another. And the storyline is basically the same thing. It's just a new face telling you basically the same thing. Either to hate Trump, or to hate the Republicans, or to hate the Democrats. And so they always point fingers. Because Fox point the fingers at the Democrats. And CNN is pointing fingers at Trump. And MSNBC is pointing fingers at the Republicans. And so are they being irresponsible? Because see, the man in Ohio who went and shot up those folks, he hate Republicans. He hate Trump. He was a leftist. He was a Democrat. He was a follower of Elizabeth Warren, who's running for president. And so now, this is not saying that Elizabeth Warren is the blame here. No, what I'm saying is this man was listening to people like her. He was listening to the Democrat machine, and because he had a weak mind, he just took matters in his own hand and went up there and shot up some folks. Just like this man who killed all these folks at Walmart in El Paso. He had been listening to the machine. He had been listening to how it was the immigrants' fault. And how he didn't think that Trump was doing enough and in keeping the illegal immigrants out. And he was thinking that the Democrats was causing too many illegals come in here. And because the Democrat was letting too many illegals come in here, and then the Republicans wasn't doing enough to stop them from coming in here, he just took matters in his own hand. And so, see, when you listen to these news stories, every night. If that's all you getting, it's these illegal people's fault. It's the immigrants' fault. If you listening to that every night, you being brainwashed. You being brainwashed. And that's what done happened. These men's done been brainwashed. So could it be that we have an irresponsible press? And then could it be we reaping what we have sown, ladies and gentlemen? Because we have taken God out of the public sphere of life. We have taken God out. They have removed God. They don't even want you to say in Jesus' name when you go to a political meeting and they ask you to pray. They don't even want you to pray in Jesus' name. And so we have removed prayer out of school. We have moved Bible reading out of school. And that started back in the early 60s, 62, 63, when they removed the Supreme Court, made it illegal to pray in school. It made it illegal to read the Bible in school. And as a result, look at the statistics, ladies and gentlemen. Just look at the statistics. The data don't lie. In 1963, you had 12% of unwed girls in school. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's way off the roof. It's more than half unwed girls. Violent crime. It was down to about 2%, but now it's 10 times as high. The SAT scores was 980 back in 1963. Now it's under 800. The single mother's head of households, it was just 4%. Back in 1963, but now in the African American community, it's over 70%. It's over 70%. Ladies and gentlemen, you can see the problem. We got a lot of these single parents trying to raise these boys. And ladies and gentlemen, this is why we got so much violence out there in the street. We don't have nothing, no Bible, no prayer to combat all of this hate that's being taught. See, I believe that because they have removed prayer and Bible reading out of school, ladies and gentlemen, we just reaping now what we have sown. We have a lost society. These kids are growing up without having any kind of spiritual foundation. They don't have no Bible. They don't have no prayer. They don't have no, even in most cases, they don't even have no role models, because the mamas and daddies don't go to church. Mama and daddy don't read the Bible. They don't have prayer at school. They don't have prayer at home. They don't have no Bible reading at school. Don't have no Bible reading at home. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, if I skip reading my Bible for one day, I'll know it. And I sure know it if I skip for 2 days. But if I don't read my Bible for a week, or go 2 weeks without reading my Bible, then everybody else gonna know it. That's just like eating food. If you miss one day of eating, if you don't eat for one day, then you'll know it. Oh yeah, you'll know it. But if you don't eat for a whole week, then everybody else gonna know it, because you're gonna start dropping weight and stuff. So everybody else gonna know it. In the same way, if you're not reading your Bible for a day or two, well, you gonna know that. But then if you go for a whole week and go a whole month without reading your Bible, then everybody else gonna know it. And that's what's happening, ladies and gentlemen. These people are being raised and they don't get no Bible. They're not eating no Bible. They're not feasting on the word of God. They are not being filled with the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit is the restrainer. Yeah, that's what needs to happen. When you got the Holy Ghost in you, the Holy Ghost will hold you back. The Holy Ghost, when you hear them thoughts in your mind to go kill somebody, go hurt somebody, when you got the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is a restrainer. He'll hold you back. And if you feeding on that word every day, then the word of God will eliminate a lot of those bad thoughts. The word of God will keep you in your right mind. That's why Jesus says, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to stop all of this mass killing in America, we got to get people hooked on the word of God. Did you hear what I said? If we're going to stop these people from doing all this killing, then we got to get these people hooked on the word of God. Because man, he can't live. He can't. He's trying to live without the Bible. But Jesus was right when he says man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. All right, that's it for today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.